You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health, and I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. Today, we're going to be chatting all about how you can prepare your pelvic floor for birth. So, the first thing that I want to explain is that the pelvic floor can be anywhere on a spectrum from really overactive to really underactive. And this is really important to understand because so many women don't even know what the pelvic floor does, how to connect with it, that it's very unlikely that women will understand exactly where on that spectrum that they will sit at any one point in time. So connecting with a pelvic floor physio can be really helpful for you to identify where you might be on that spectrum, but I'll give you a few hints and tips in order to work out where you might sit on that spectrum. So if we think about a really overactive pelvic floor, this is more likely going to have symptoms of pain with intercourse, pain with tampon use in the past with menstruation, pain with a speculum insertion if you've ever had a pap smear or an IUD inserted. So pain is a common sign that the pelvic floor is really tense and overactive right at that side of the spectrum where you're having physical symptoms. On the other side of the spectrum, the pelvic floor could be quite underactive, and that might mean that it's lax. It doesn't know how to switch on to its full capacity. So the best way that I like to visualize this is to think about an elevator, okay? So if you imagine an elevator shaft that runs up through the vagina to a point, let's say internally, it runs parallel to the spine to a point just behind your navel. So the pelvic floor and respiratory diaphragm, which is our breathing muscle, are really closely connected. So when we breathe in, our respiratory diaphragm, which is this dome-shaped muscle, it flattens, descends, and stretches, and this causes the same gentle stretching of the pelvic floor muscles. When we exhale, then, the pelvic floor and the diaphragm both recoil. And we can imagine this visual if we think about the pelvic floor surrounding the whole floor of our pelvis, like the netting of a trampoline. And then we visualize as we inhale the stretching of the trampoline netting down. And as we exhale, the pelvic floor and trampoline netting lifts back up. So this is only happening if we're properly breathing down into our diaphragm. A lot of women, out of habit, stress, fear, self-confidence issues, or just this desire to always have a flat stomach, we have this tendency to tense around our tummy and start to breathe into our upper chest. Now, our respiratory diaphragm is more like our heart muscle. It's designed to work all the time. It's an aerobic muscle and it's designed to do this gentle movement day in, day out. But when we're breathing into our upper chest, we are using our postural muscles like our shoulders and our neck to breathe for us. And what this means is that we get that extra tension through the neck and the shoulders because we're breathing up here. And this is not going to create that nice downward stretching like a massage on that pelvic floor muscle. So this is more likely to occur when the pelvic floor is overactive. But let's come back to this elevator analogy. Let's think about the pelvic floor like an elevator shaft that runs up through the vagina. And if we imagine, if you're on the underactive side, so if the spectrum, you're more likely to have symptoms like urinary leakage, heaviness vaginally, or a dragging sensation. Although you can have leakage if your pelvic floor is overactive. So if we think about that elevator analogy, if we think about the stretch of a muscle, if we have an underactive pelvic floor, it's like that elevator. Let's think about when we breathe, the elevator should descend naturally down to the basement. And then when we breathe out, it should be able to lift up. And if we're contracting it, we should be able to lift it all the way up to the 10th floor. Okay. The lower abdominals, the transversus abdominis, that deep layer of muscle across the front, will naturally co-contract at around the second or third floor as you lift up and in. And then as you lower back down, it should relax and the pelvic floor should relax all the way down to the basement. If the pelvic floor is really overactive, it's like the elevator starting at the fourth floor and you have no ability to stretch it down with the breath to the basement. And you have an ability to switch it on and off. So you can take it to the 10th floor and then you can drop it to the fourth floor. But the range of movement, like if we think about the bicep, the range of movement is really small. And if the pelvic floor is underactive, it's like it's a little bit overstretched. So let's think about, imagine like at a massive hotel, you might have P1, P2, P3. So these different levels of the basement. So sometimes early after vaginal birth or later post-menopause, you might have a pelvic floor that's a little bit overstretched or underactive. Or if you have a history of chronic straining like chronic constipation, or if you have genetically hypermobile tissue, or in pregnancy, when we compare the baby's weight in the third trimester to the equivalent of 100-kilo man standing on a trampoline, there's a lot of load down on that pelvic floor. So if we think about that analogy, okay, then if it's underactive, it's like it's a little bit overstretched, a little bit more lax. And then if you don't know how to switch it all the way up to the 10th floor, it might be underactive and we're not getting that full capacity and strength. So you might only be able to bring it up to like the second floor. Okay. And I really like this visual of an elevator because it really helps to understand what it means to be on either side of that spectrum. And understanding that this could change like anywhere through your life stages, through your pregnancy, you might have a really painful experience having sex with your partner and then the pelvic floor tightens up a little bit. Or understanding that the pelvic floor can tighten in response to our emotional state. So if you're stressed or anxious, the pelvic floor can start to tighten up. So if we think about underactive and overactive, there can also be anywhere in between on that spectrum. So let's think about that middle that's optimal. Okay. That means that you have an ability to stretch the pelvic floor with the breath down to the basement, and then this ability to lift it up to the 10th floor, and also an ability to relax it. If you are hypertonic, which means like somewhere in between optimal and overactive, but perhaps not getting symptoms, you might just have a little bit of baseline tension in the pelvic floor. And you might not even be aware of it, but you might just be holding a little bit of tension there, much like some women clench their jaw when they're stressed. So if you're holding that little bit of tension there and you're not able to fully release it, you might be sitting on the first floor and then able to get to the 10th, but not able to stretch it with the breath. So really important to therefore check in and at least have a consultation either over the phone via telehealth or in person with a pelvic floor physio so that you can go through a thorough history and identify maybe risks or symptoms of being overactive or symptoms of being underactive so that you know where you are on that spectrum. And then when it comes to preparing the pelvic floor for childbirth, it's about down training. It's having that ability to inhale and let the pelvic floor muscles stretch all the way down to the basement, being able to relax them completely. And if you have that tendency to be a little bit tense in the pelvic floor already, or if you have a tendency to be overactive, then you might not be able to even get it down to the basement. So it might be working with a pelvic floor physio in order to down train the pelvic floor slightly, practicing more of the breath techniques, inhaling down into the belly, getting some feedback against the pelvic floor. So an exercise that I give a lot of my clients and that we practice in my 8-week pregnancy program is either sitting over a fit ball or sitting over the Pilates ball. And having that ball press up and contour the perineum. So that gives you a lot of feedback to your brain of what is happening. And then over time, we can slowly start to tune in with the body to a point where we can actually feel the really subtle stretch of the pelvic floor with that inhale breath and the gentle recoil with the exhale, and focus on directing the breath down into the pelvic floor to physically stretch it with the breath and to promote that more optimal state of the pelvic floor. Now, I think it is important that we also up-train the pelvic floor, that we still have this capacity to switch it to the 10th floor and then to be able to relax. Because if we don't have enough tone in the pelvic floor, then this can cause other complications in birth, like can have some impact on bub's head not being completely flexed if there's a lot of laxity through that pelvic floor. So we still want that tone in the pelvic floor. We want it to only come down to the basement, and then we want to be able to contract it and then release it. So throughout pregnancy, in order to prepare it, we want to focus more on the side of the spectrum that we're on, but we don't want to be afraid of contracting it, but we also need to focus on practicing releasing it. So if we think about the bicep, for example, if the bicep is constantly stuck like this, we need to learn how to contract it and then release it a little further each time. Okay. And if you always had a bicep that was stuck, you know, halfway, you might not know what it feels like to come all the way off. So practicing this through pregnancy can be really helpful. So that is why our breath work, our pranayama techniques, our yoga practice is so fundamental in the preparation for birth, in order to down train and practice relaxing the pelvic floor, and also to optimize breathing pattern so that we're getting this beautiful stretch of the diaphragm and we're not getting into the habit of breathing always into our upper chest. So that is our first tip. So that is the first tip that I have for preparing the pelvic floor for birth. My second recommendation is using a trigger ball and doing some deep pelvic floor, posterior pelvic floor, and deep hip rotator release. So this can be really helpful for everyone, particularly if you find that you get tight hips or tension around the hips. So using a trigger ball, this is the trigger ball that I provide as part of my package, but you can also use something from Kmart, or you could probably find one at your local sports store. A tennis ball will do, but it's definitely a lot more effective with a hard trigger ball. So when you use a trigger ball, you place that underneath your hip, coming down onto the floor if you can tolerate it, or some women in later stages of pregnancy prefer to do it against a wall. But if you can tolerate it, coming down onto the floor and placing that ball underneath one hip. And we think about if you place a finger on your sit bone and then place a finger on your tailbone, the other finger, and the ball and that deep pelvic floor layer is going to sit right in between those two points. So it's going to be right through here between the sit bone and the tailbone. That's going to be the deeper layers of the hip rotator and the deep pelvic floor. And in order for baby to move out through the pelvic outlet, we need that pelvic floor to relax so that the sacrum, which is the lowest part of our spine, can nutate, which means move out, in order for baby's head to move down and through the pelvic outlet. So doing this ball release can be really helpful in preparation for birth and helpful to relieve any pelvic girdle pain or sacroiliac joint pain that you might be getting in pregnancy. So the way that I love to teach this release technique in my courses is to actually imagine it is like a mock contraction. So when you do this release work with the ball, it's a very intense physical sensation. And particularly if you have a lot of tension or tightness in the deep pelvic floor and deep hip rotators, it can cause a lot of physical discomfort. But it is serving you. It is going to help release the tightness in those muscles. It is beneficial in some way. So that's where just holding on that ball and practicing some of the birth techniques that I teach, like pranayama techniques, lengthening the exhale breath, or just gently softening the jaw and focusing on that gentle diaphragmatic breath, or using affirmations like "this too shall pass," so that it's almost two for the price of one. Essentially, you get that deep pelvic floor and hip rotator release that will relieve any pain that you might be experiencing in pregnancy, prepare for birth, both physically, but also on that emotional level with those breath techniques, or recentering the attention on the breath away from that part of the mind that's going to be like, oh my God, this is so painful. Get me off here. Hurry up, hurry up. Which is a similar thing that can occur during the intensity of your labor contractions. So it's about re-anchoring and anchoring either on the breath or on affirmations or whatever the techniques that you've been taught. We go through loads of techniques in my pregnancy course, but any of the techniques that you might have learned as well along the way to practice that with that intense physical sensation. So that is my second tip for releasing the pelvic floor in preparation for birth. I want to go through two more things before I finish up. So the next thing is stretching the pelvic floor gently through yoga. So we can do this if we think about the pelvic floor is mostly going to be that pelvic outlet. So not the opening of the pelvis, if we think about that as the top of the pelvis, but the pelvic floor is going to be more important in that second stage of labor through the pelvic outlet. So if we think about the pelvic floor in that situation, we want to be able to stretch those two sit bones apart, and that will provide a gentle stretch on the deep posterior pelvic floor muscles. So there are certain yoga postures like our malasana, which is our deep yogic squat, or a wide-legged child's pose, where these two bones are going to be coming slightly further apart, creating that stretch and lengthening through those deep pelvic floor muscles. The other postures that we can use is knees in, calves out. So sitting in a position over a football, or using a pole or a squat rack or something in pregnancy, bringing the toes in, thinking about internally rotating, bringing the knees together, holding onto something that is stable, and then pulling back to create that widening and opening through those sit bones, through the pelvic outlet, and therefore stretching gently through the pelvic floor. To that, we can add our breath techniques. So we can add that deep diaphragmatic breathing that will help to gently stretch the pelvic floor with each inhale breath. So that is the benefit of our yoga practice in preparation for birth, in order to connect with our breath, to gently stretch and mobilize the pelvic floor, but also to create that physical opening through those tight structures. So the next thing is perineal massage and gentle pelvic floor release. So when we perform perineal massage, and the way that I like to teach it is a very gentle variation, and it is more a matter of retraining pain physiology. So if you have had a painful experience in the pelvic floor at any point throughout your life, so that might have been a painful a fall off a snowboard landing on your sit bones, it might have been a painful pap smear, or maybe pain with intercourse, or painful recurrent periods, so anything that might have caused this recurrent tightening response in the deep pelvic floor, when that pelvic floor and perineum start stretching in that second stage, then what can happen is a signal can get sent to the subconscious brain, which is our pain physiology. What's happened like this before? Is it dangerous? Is it threatening? And if there's a memory of tightness and pain, then the body will start to tighten, and that will increase that pain sensation. So the example that I love to give for this is by a pain researcher, Lorimer Moseley, and he talks about his own experience with pain, where he was walking through the bush in Australia, something brushed up against his leg. What's happened like this before? His brain looked at all of the past memory and thought, it's probably just a twig. But he looked down and he'd actually been bitten by a snake. So he was fine. He was rushed to hospital, given an antivenin, and he survived. But a year later, he was walking through the bush, something brushed up against his leg, message got sent to the brain. What's happened like this before? Is it dangerous? Is it threatening? And before he could even think, there was a spinal cord reflex and he dropped to the ground in excruciating pain. And this is because his past memory had set off alarm bells thinking tighten, protect, danger, threat. And he'd looked down and he'd just been brushed up against a twig. So when we do perineal massage or pelvic floor release, it's about retraining this pain physiology. Because when I do a vaginal examination on a client, if they have had some sort of, say, endometriosis and recurrent pain with periods and with intercourse, if I just apply pressure down to the perineum, they might at first experience 10 out of 10 pain, like so much pain through the perineum. And if I maintain that pressure and we practice that contract and relax of the pelvic floor, really focusing on the letting go, practicing the breathing, then over time, just by holding that pressure there, the pain will start to drop all the way down to a 0 out of 10. And if we repeat this with, in the case of perineal massage or pelvic floor release, if we repeat this every few days in the lead up to labor, then this is going to retrain that pain response so that as baby's head moves down and out through the birth canal and really stretching the pelvic floor, rather than that preemptive tightening and that protective response kicking in, we are able to soften and release and relax. And we're familiar with that sensation of stretching and we're not associating that with danger or threat. So we're not having an actual response of pain, because pain, again, is just our brain's perception of threat. So if we can associate that more with a sensation that is serving us, that is, you know, getting us closer to meeting our baby, then that will decrease the pain level and will be more perceived as a stretching sensation. So that is the physical side of preparing the pelvic outlet, preparing the pelvic floor, preparing the perineum for childbirth. The other thing that we want to integrate and that we mustn't forget is the emotional side of things. As I said, the pelvic floor is highly innervated by nerves and we can hold a lot of tension and stress in our pelvic floor. So it is also about regulating the nervous system, allowing ourselves to breathe properly down into the diaphragm, in order to relax the pelvic floor and to relax the whole nervous system. So we mustn't underestimate the importance of releasing stress, relieving anxiety, and practice breathing down into the belly and removing anything that might be causing that tension in the pelvic floor, whether that is a past history of trauma or whether that is fear around childbirth or fear of past birth trauma occurring again. So making sure that we relieve those emotional aspects either by working with a health professional or journaling or meditation or practicing yoga or breath work, whatever it is for you personally that's going to help to relieve that emotional tightness that we might be storing in the pelvic floor as well. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this session. If you have any more questions, feel free to jump onto my website. I do offer a free discovery call. And you can also go on the waitlist if you're currently pregnant for my next Support Your Mind, Core and Pelvic Floor program, which is an 8-week course for pregnant women to learn how to support themselves mentally and emotionally in pregnancy, prepare for birth, both the pelvic floor, emotional preparation, physical preparation, and understand the importance of postpartum recovery. So let me know if you guys do have any questions. Otherwise, I will pop some links onto my socials so that you can have a look at all of the things, or you can go to the link in my bio. There's a few opt-in freebies on there as well for postpartum recovery. So, all right.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.